In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
It is 7:09 on a Saturday morning. You know what that means. It means talk cars, more specifically the problems you may be having with your car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what the heck is wrong before you take it in for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. We have on hand again this week, and we appreciate it, Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning, and Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Danny. Good morning to you and all of our listeners.
I was happened to be, we're going to get you a little louder here. I was into Lloyd's just a few days ago in that chilly Thursday morning, getting some new tires. It was my turn, but I picked the cold day to do it. And of course, at Lloyd's, you were kind of busy, you guys, that day. And I went out for coffee, trudged down the block, which is great because you got Grand Avenue, such great places. But having coffee while your technician Graham did the work, so I didn't see him. But what is the process? I know that it's kind of SOP that your technicians, when they put on new tires, they kind of clean the rims. What is the tell me the process of the whole thing?
So yeah, first off, like we've been talking the weeks leading up to this week, it got cold and we got snow. So if you haven't gotten your tires for winter yet, get on someone's schedule. Please be patient. Everyone's doing the best they can, but we're at least a week or two behind as it is. So just be patient with your shopping dealer. But you do have time before the holiday seasons. If you're traveling, absolutely get on somebody's schedule Monday if at all possible. As far as replacing tires, you need to be careful. You know, obviously we remove the whole assembly from the vehicle, separate the tire from the wheel. Then we're going to inspect that bead surface on the wheel where the tire mounts to. What will happen over time, moisture and condensation will work its way in there. We get some corrosion. So if we see any corrosion there, we're going to clean that corrosion, and then we put a sealant back on and then reinstall the tire. That way we would prevent from having a bead leak, which will cause the tires to go low. So oftentimes people will say, I'm losing a couple pounds here and there. Typically that's a bead leak that creates that. So if that's the case, take it in, have someone look at it. You might find that they separate the tire from the wheel to clean that mounting surface and reinstall it.
Any kind of a car care question, we urge you to give us a call if you want to chat with Nick, or you can just send a text like folks are doing. But keep in mind, we always like to say do it sooner rather than later. Our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. Any kind. You don't have to be a motorhead either. Just call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have. 651-461-9226. I know I'm getting a little detailed here, but what kind of a tool do the technicians use to clean that point where the sidewall hits the wheel?
Well, you need to be careful. You don't want to damage that wheel surface, obviously, but with the corrosion, sometimes you need to get in there with a wire brush. You know, sometimes you can take some emery cloth, clean it up, but, you know, use the appropriate tool for the job, I guess, is the best answer. You don't want to overdo it and gouge or create a problem, in other words. So, and over the years, we've seen some really bad ones, done our very best to clean them, use some of that bead sealer, which is kind of like a glue, and even there's cases in those situations where if that wheel is so far corroded, you just can't get a clean, smooth surface that unfortunately needs to be reconditioned.
And the new ones are not cheap, are they?
No. And like, keep in mind, if you do have a problem like that, or if you happen to hit a pothole and there's like a fracture in the wheel, a lot of times they can be reconditioned, meaning that they take your wheel out. I understand you might be without your car for a day or two, but oftentimes that repair can be quite less expensive than a new wheel.
Well, that's good news. 651-461-9226. Nick, I'm looking at a text from Craig. He said, 2011 Buick LaCrosse, the warning light, quote, service tire pressure system. What's the deal with that, and is this an expensive repair? What is that warning saying to the driver?
Well, you mentioned it's a 2011, so it's getting to be, you know, 15 years old. I suspect that maybe one of the batteries and one of the sensors, each wheel has its own sensor, one of those batteries has the voltage dropped low enough where it's not identifying it, and it needs to be replaced, possibly reprogrammed. So you get that into your shop, they can access that system, retrieve that information for why the warning is on, and then give you a better information.
All right, very good. Here's one we get from time to time during this time of year. Is there a difference in windshield wiper washer fluid? You know the stuff I'm talking about, that blue juice.
I do.
Are there differences?
The marketing people will say yes. I think the biggest issue is if you're new to our climate, coming from the south, and a lot of times when you get below the Mason-Dixon line, they will use water. And as we know here, water will freeze. So if you came from the south to visit us this winter, you need to get that water out of that reservoir, refilled with fresh fluid. That being said, we use it enough that it should flush its way through from any condensation, keep those lines clean of any contamination and such. But I think whatever you buy at the filling station will be sufficient. I know there's different grades and different protection levels, and I've just used the blue juice, as you called it, my whole life and had no problem.
Is there a way, I'm looking at a text, basically, this listener is a regular listener, obviously, talking about, I've heard you guys talk about, don't use the windshield wipers to clean off the frost. Is there another method to get that rid of that stuff before the car warms up? Which I think is a good question.
Frost isn't really the concern, it's the snow.
Ice.
And the ice. So if the wipers are stuck or adhered to the windshield and you turn them on, there's a lot of stress at that pivot point. You do that one too many times and that pivot point's going to fail. Now you won't have any wipers working for you. With the snow, same idea is, you know, wipers are designed to clear the glass. It's a squeegee. It's not a shovel. So don't try to take 2 or 3 inches of snow and sweep it off your windshield. I know we're all guilty of it from time to time, but I promise you, we see plenty of those situations where people come in and the one wiper doesn't work and they're trying to drive the vehicle and you can't see, and it just creates a very dangerous situation. So, you know, start your vehicle, let it run. While the car is running, get out of the vehicle, scrape the windshield, you know, wipe it, take the brush and clear the snow, gives the vehicle the opportunity to warm up a little bit, allow that defrost to clear the windshield some while you're doing that. So that's probably the best practice.
I'm looking at a text, not a question, but a comment about that very thing. Even though it's a bother, this person, and I've seen this, take the windshield wipers and pull them away from the windshield, you know what I mean? And kind of leave them like that if they're going in for the night or whatever. You've seen those.
I have seen that, and, you know, that does work. My only fear is if for whatever reason that were to slap down, you run the risk of cracking that windshield. So just keep that in mind, because it's, you know, when we replace wipers, we lift the arm up, but we set it back down. That spring is pretty strong, so that wiper comes slapping down. It could, not say it's guaranteed, but it could crack that windshield. So just keep that in mind if that's something you're doing on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tell you what, let's take a quick break, inviting our listeners to join in on this conversation. If you have any kind of a car question, maybe you always wanted to ask a mechanic a question, can be that. If you're having problems with your vehicle and you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know what may be ailing, call Nick or text Nick, either way, but do it sooner than later, 651-461-9226. I can tell you right now in the Twin Cities, we're holding at 22 degrees, been that way for the last 2-3 hours or so. That is probably our warm temp for the day. We'll get to about 20 here in a couple of hours or so. But then as far as the overnight low, we're looking tonight at a low of 3 below 0. So talking about cold weather. And a warm up tomorrow? No. Sunshine will return, but we'll only get up to about 9 above. Maybe even rain mixed with snow Tuesday. My goodness. We'll talk weather, of course, coming along in a matter of minutes. But right now, overcast, 22 degrees here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel. who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. I know the address. I know how to get in touch. But for those folks that need some help from Lloyd's or your other stations, how do we find you?
Absolutely. So if you need any questions answered before you take your car in, you can always call. We will help you, as we've always mentioned. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And I have to mention today, Denny, the Grand Meander on Grand Avenue. So if you're looking for something to do, I believe 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, there's a whole list of events going on. So you can go to the Grand Avenue website and see that. But we're on Grand, as we mentioned, at 982, which is two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And if you need any more information on us, you can find that at lloydsautomotive.net.
It is indeed a Grand Avenue. It's always fun being there. We'll give you that information before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45. So, if you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text. Yeah, you can call and chat with Nick if you like. 651-461-9226, or again, send him a text if that's easier. Speaking of texts, here is another one. We get this from time to time. Is it best to keep a full tank of gas in the winter? I believe it is, just because I'm that kind of guy. But what's the real deal?
I agree with you. And a lot of it's mostly if you get in an unfortunate situation where you end up with a flat tire, stranded somewhere. You want to be able to let the car run as long as the exhaust is free from any kind of blockage to keep you warm until help can come find you. So I think having a full tank really all the time is the best idea. You know, I don't know if you know this, but it costs just as much to have a full tank as it does an empty tank. So
that's right.
Keep that in mind and keep it full. And we were all young, we're picking on the kids, I suppose. We were always in a hurry and don't have time to and put $5 at a time and all that. But in all honesty, if you can keep the tank full, I think that's better for all of us.
How many times, be honest now, and I think I've done it a couple of times, you're looking down at that less than quarter of a tank, and I thought, I think I can make it. Let's see if we can't do another 20 miles. But I don't want to gamble, especially during the wintertime. But what about the fuel pumps now? Aren't most of them, correct me if I'm wrong, in the tank itself?
Correct. You know, as systems have evolved, the feeder pump, and sometimes the only pump, is located in the tank, and it does use that fuel as a coolant and a lubricant. So you want to keep fuel in there so that that electric pump is operating properly, staying lubricated properly. If you're always running on a quarter or less of a tank, that's not happening. So you do want to keep the tank as full as you're capable of. Obviously, we need to run through the tank and fill it back up. That's completely normal and fine. But, I always joke that if I go from my house to up north and back, it's about a tank of gas. So usually I try to make it as far as I can before I fill it up. That way I don't have to worry about on the way home. So sometimes I do play that game, too. Like, it says I got 70 miles. I can make it tomorrow.
Yeah. Famous last words. Okay. Looking at a text. Hi, Denny and Nick. My 2014 F-150 rear passenger door is closed, but the dash warning says it's open. I reopen and shut the door. No change. Now, what's going on there?
There is a switch probably in the latch assembly that isn't actuating. So the door's closed and latching, that's good. But the electric part is not. That's not an immediate danger. Obviously, I don't think you run any risk of the door opening up on you. However, if the door's not secure, you don't have that warning. So if you have a young one in the back seat, you may not know whether or not that door's latched properly. So I would probably have that looked at next and have it serviced and get that fixed.
Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Call it in or text it in. Speaking of calls, let's go to the phones. Denny from McCarver is calling in this morning. Thanks, Denny. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I just got something I do. I've driven school bus 25 years for Chaska, and I always keep a bottle of blue juice to spray my windshield and wipers real good beforehand, and even on my truck and stuff at home here. So instead of scraping, you just put a warm squirt of that blue juice out there in front first.
That's a great idea because that isopropyl alcohol will help melt that ice. So that's a quick, easy button. So for those that don't have the patience to wait for the car to warm up, that's a great remedy, a great solution.
Yep.
Yeah, Denny, thank you. That's a good tip, yeah. But don't put warm or hot water on it, right?
No, I would use just the regular washer fluid. And if it's coming from inside the home, it's already going to be be warm. So I think that's not a bad idea.
I kind of like that. I think I'll do that myself next time. Again, I'm looking at another text. What is a rear strut and what would cause one to break? My SUV, Texter says, has 46,000 miles on it, and I'm being told I have a broken strut that needs to be replaced.
So on the suspension, front or rear, something needs to dampen at the wheel, a shock, a strut. It's a hydraulic dampener that goes up and down with the vehicle, absorbs the bounces in the road to give us a smooth ride. Typically, they leak. I think maybe the nomenclature is getting a little bit mixed up here. If something's broken, it's more likely a sway bar link or stabilizer link, which is fairly common. They take a lot of stress from those bumps and stuff as we head down the road. And there's a ball and socket joint that will wear in time. So if a strut is worn, leaking, not dampening properly, they do need to be replaced. They are what keep us firmly on the road. They also affect how our tires wear. So if your shocks or struts are worn, you could premature or improperly wear your tires, which would mean you need to replace your shocks and struts and your tires. So don't do both. Fix the problem while it faces you and get it back on the road. A stabilizer link, like I said, is a more common type repair. Isn't overly complicated, and it's probably what the broken part would be.
Looking at a text from hearing last week's show, I think we talked about CV joints and leaking. What is that, talking about suspension? Do all cars have CV joints, and what is it?
They do. Any drive wheel on a vehicle outside of a pickup has a solid axle. So solid axles, which were the mainstay in yesteryears, which are only really in a pickup or a heavier vehicle these days. But most vehicles have an independent suspension, meaning the wheels can move on their own up and down. But in order to get the power from the engine through the transmission, we need some sort of axle that has flexibility built into it, and that's what that CV axle does. So it's a solid shaft with a CV axle or a constant velocity joint on each end filled with grease, and then there's that boot that protects it and keeps it lubricated. Over time, debris in the road, salt, you name it, will deteriorate that rubber and can cause it to split and start to leak grease. If it's a minor seepage, we can keep an eye on it. I'm not overly worried about it. But once that rubber tears free and the grease is starting to fling out of that joint, it's no longer lubricated. As that grease can leave the joint, dirt can get in, which will wear that joint out. My opinion or practice has been, because we've tried repairing them and re-greasing them, rebooting them, but it's kind of like you can't get all the dirt out of there. So it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a dirty wound. You don't resolve for much. But typically we replace the axle as a whole. They're very competitively priced. The prices are not as bad as they used to be, so it seems to be the amount of time to disassemble one, rebuild it, reinstall it, it's less expensive to get a new one.
Is that somebody, not a do-it-yourselfer, but somebody who's parks in a garage or they can look in the driveway, and can you see leakage once in a while on that?
You're not going to see anything on the ground. If you're curious enough, you can, turn the front wheels fully to the left or fully to the right, and you look down in there, you'll see like a little rubber accordion boot. That's a CV joint. That's the boot that we're referring to. A do-it-yourselfer, if you're very handy, you could replace one, but you need a way to lift the vehicle safely, securely, and then a lot of times those nuts and bolts, which are close to the ground, can get maybe rusted into place where you need a little extra heat or a little oomph to get it freed up. So unless you're very skilled and have the proper tools, don't attempt that, because what can happen is that you can break something, number one, or you can't get it back together. Now we have to figure out how to get on a tow truck. So
no thank you.
Don't go down that path unless you know where you're headed.
I'll be on Grand Avenue. Thank you very much. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for that forecast, which is interesting in itself. And then we'll have more time for some text questions to get answered here. If you want to join the crowd, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We are here every Saturday, thanks to Nick, helping us out, helping you out every Saturday in this particular hour. Nick will be with us till just about another 10 minutes or so. Looking at another text, Nick. Texter has a 2020 Chevy Silverado. They would like to change the battery. Can I do this myself without hooking it up to another 12-volt system and not cause any damage to the computers, etc.? Good question.
Yes, you should be able to if you have the right wrenches and such. You got to remove the battery hold down, remove the cables. Make sure the cables are clean. If not, get an old toothbrush or something to kind of some baking soda and water and just kind of mix that up and kind of brush it clear, rinse it off. Make sure when you put the cables back on that they're fully secure. Make sure they're tightly mounted and squarely mounted. We don't want any poor contact or connection there. And just take your time. You know, maybe watch a couple of videos online. Do it yourself. You can definitely handle it. Taking some time, having some patience.
All right. This listener bought a new car, doesn't say what, but it's got a turbo. And the question is, do I need to let it cool off before I turn off the car?
No, they have their own cooling systems kind of built in with the vehicle. It's a good question, but definitely not necessary.
Now, turbo, I think you guys tried to explain it to me once. Turbo, a car with a turbo function is different than a supercharged car, right? What is the difference?
The turbo uses the exhaust gases to spin the turbine, where the supercharger uses a belt that runs off the accessories that forces the air into the engine. You'll find this more and more common as we found ways to create more power, more efficiencies, better fuel economy with engines, that engines have become smaller, but to create this sufficient amount of power, they do use things like turbochargers and superchargers, a little more common these days. So it's good technology. They've been worked out. They work fine. Make sure you change your oil, which is the turbo would appreciate it very much so if you change your oil on a regular basis. I think it's great. You know, we were able to use less fuel, save some weight, and still create the power we need to keep cars moving.
Yeah, very good. Good morning, gentlemen. Texter says we have a 2014 Mitsubishi Outlander, which has 93,000 miles on it. I've done the basic maintenance, tires, filters, oil changes. The brakes have never been replaced, and they still look and feel like new. I've searched the Mitsubishi owner's manual, cannot find anything about spark plug replacement. You guys have any idea if I should replace them or let them run till there's a problem? And what's the difference between platinum and iridium spark plugs?
So there is an interval somewhere. I don't know off the top of my head. Do not go until something happens, because all you do is create a bigger problem. Example being, if we go until one of the coils fail, well, now you need spark plugs and a coil. Or you have a misfire, which means that the fuel's not being properly burnt and spent, so it works its way into the exhaust, which is hard on the catalytic converter. So there's a cause and effect to all these things. So maintenance is a great cause to avoid a lot of those effects. So maybe you have to call... do a little more research, but there is an interval. And the question as far as iridium and platinum, precious materials, it used to be just a standard copper plug, which ran 20, 30,000 miles. You'd have to re-gap them and file them. That goes way back when. And then we had platinum plugs, which is a little platinum tip, allowed them to last longer, run better, clean, run more cleanly, you could say. And then iridium is just another... advancement in that. That's how we can get spark plugs to last 100,000 miles, because those precious materials that they use that allow for that spark to be good and strong for 100,000 miles without anything being done to them. So typically around that 100,000 miles, some are a little bit sooner, some are a little bit later, but that's the general timeline where we see spark plugs being replaced.
But I think if that listener were to go into a place like Lloyd's to have that done, you guys have the computers and you can do the you have that information available.
We do have the resources for service intervals, procedures, diagnostic stuff. You know, we have subscriptions. You wouldn't believe the amount of money we spend on this stuff. It's insane almost, but it's well worth
the price. You need that information.
Yeah. Well, you need the information, and that's what allows us to get through so much work every day, so we have all the resources to get the job right the first time.
Nick, we have some callers who want to help out this morning. Ernie's first up here calling from Montgomery, I think. Ernie, what is your question? Thanks for calling. What's your question for Nick?
Thank you. I got a 2012 Chevy Impala. It was a highway patrol car, but it's been running beautiful for 150,000 miles. Now when I turn the key on, it's just the dash lights come on, and I turn it off, and sometimes it will start, but now it won't start at all. And I put a new battery in.
Well, I'm thinking if you're turning the light, things are lighting up but nothing's happening, it appears that you have the power to make it happen. You mentioned you put a new battery, so that kind of checks that box. But I wonder if there's not something going on with the starter not getting, or the starter's not taking that power and cranking the engine over. That might not be something you can do yourself. What we would do is take a voltmeter, find that starter, have somebody crank it, see if that power's making it to the starter while we're trying to start the vehicle. Because obviously a few things need to happen before that, but that's the first place we would check is that starter, make sure the power is there to allow it to crank that motor over. If the power is there, we know we have a faulty starter. if the power's not making it to the starter, now we need to look back. There's relays, ignition switches, there's other items in that circuit that could cause a problem. So if you're not, if you don't have the ability, you might have to have it towed to your local shop. Or if it does start, you get lucky, I would still take it to the local shop, have them test that to make sure it's going to be okay, because just because it started once doesn't mean it's going to continue to start. And looking at the forecast, I don't think that's something you want to risk, having been stranded somewhere when it's cold out.
Yeah. Good luck, Ernie, with that. Another caller coming in, Pete, calling in from Mound this morning. Pete, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a 2015 Dodge Ram where I've just recently had the code red, and it says the evaporative emission control, small leak, very small leak. Just wanted to get a little understanding of how that system works and what are the components that would probably need some replacement.
So I believe it's a P0456, and what it's telling us is that it's not significant, like the gas cap's not left off, you know, something very obvious. Now, that doesn't mean that that rubber seal that tightens when we put the gas cap on is not sealing properly. It doesn't mean that the vent solenoid, the purge solenoid, all these different solenoids that help control and maintain the evaporative system, which the evaporative system is when we put fuel into the tank, there's vapors. Years ago, those vapors went into the atmosphere. We've learned that that's not good for the atmosphere. So now we have a canister that contains those vapors. And if there's a leak within that system, when the car does a self-test, it's going to notice that it's not holding those vapors. It's going to turn that light on. We oftentimes will test those solenoids, see if they're operating properly. If they are, if they're not, that's the first step. Sometimes we go as far as what we call smoke testing. We have a smoke machine that we fill that system with and look for the leak. And a lot of times to find the leak is maybe a seam in a hose or a contact point where something comes together. Being that it's a very small leak, sometimes it takes a little time to find it. So I don't think it's critical to the operation of the vehicle today. However, that warning light is your only warning light. So if something else is going on, you're not going to be aware of it. Number two, having excessive emissions is not good for the atmosphere. So that's probably something you want to get in somebody's schedule. Have them do those couple tests, determine what's going on.
All right, very good. Looking at some texts. If we don't get to all the texts, we'll open up the show with them next Saturday morning. Here's one. We're talking about windshield wiper fluid, the blue juice. This listener says, my windshield juice has stopped pumping, but it's not frozen in the reservoir tank. What could be going on there?
Possibly that the pump has failed or there's a blockage somewhere. So the first thing you can do is, you know, somebody can operate that that switch from inside the vehicle with it running, and you can see if you can feel that pump running or see any action going on there. If it is, now I think there might be something with one of those hoses. So if you're capable of removing that hose and getting a little bit of air in there, not excessive, but it's enough to try to force whatever blockage is through, maybe have to go, you know, also remove it up at the wiper blade where the nozzles are. And because that'll happen, we'll see that where something becomes plugged, a little compressed air, frees up that blockage, and it's working again.
All right. I think I have time for maybe one more interesting question. What is the purpose of a vehicle having a dual exhaust? Love the show. Well, thanks for that. What's the deal with a dual exhaust?
You know, a lot of it might be cosmetic. A lot of it might be balancing the engine, depending on the engine setup. It's an 8-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 4-cylinder. Oftentimes you'll see underneath the vehicle that comes back as one pipe and it splits at the tail. So I feel there's more than cosmetic reasons. Might be helping with noise dampening. The muffler has two outlets, kind of helps control the noise. But it doesn't, you know, back in yesteryears, you try to have two exhaust systems so you have more air coming out of the engine so you can have more air going in and create more power. But that's not necessarily the case now.
That's not the case these days. Well, Nick, we have to run. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. How can we find you guys at Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, as always, do not hesitate to call. We will help. 651-228-1316. If you're looking for us, we're in St. Paul at 982 Grand Avenue. That's two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. If you need any of that information or more, you can find it at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
And we're going to have a leave you with a question you can answer next week. And Nick's career texter asked, did he ever install and adjust points? We'll get the answer to that cliffhanger when we come back next week. Nick, have a good week, and thanks for the help today, but stay warm out there.
Yes, you too, Danny.
All right, thanks very much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Yeah, he'll be back next Saturday morning.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.